The beginning of the work week is a good time to ask if your flow cytometer is working properly. If it's not, we have just the person for you. This month's edition of our business segment, The Ground Floor, features someone who not only knows a thing or two about correcting problems with flow cytometry, he can actually define what it is. We'll give you the thumbnail sketch. It's a very helpful tool for biological researchers because they can study tissue one cell at a time. FloJo LLC of Ashland is the company in focus in this month's edition of The Ground Floor. Mike Stadnitsky is the CEO and our guest in the studio. Good to see you here once again.
Yeah, great seeing you. Thanks so much.
So you want to look at individual cells. That's the whole purpose of flow cytometry. For what kinds of research?
So all different types of research. So our background comes from immunology and oncology. Where we can look at the immune system, which really surveys the entire body at all times for the state of health and disease, whether that be infectious disease or cancer. But we're using a whole number of other fields, so biophysics, marine biology, really you name it. We've sort of opened up a huge field of research because we can look at everything one cell at a time. So kind of refocusing on disease, every disease at its core is a unicellular disease. And so when we can look at that, we can really peer into the heterogeneity of tissues, the things that make all of these different tissues or all these different diseases unique, and actually find out what's going on there and work towards treatments.
So when you say disease is unicellular, meaning that it is cells get attacked one at a time, basically?
So the founder of pathology is this guy named Virchow. And 150 years ago, he wrote this great kind of text in his notebook, and he looked at a disease slide, and he noticed that there was, a tumor, all the cells look a little bit different. So he realized, we sort of paint with this wide brush when we make diagnoses or looking at something like that. But in fact, the fundamental unit of disease is that single cell, right? So if you look at this in the context of something like cancer, not all cancer cells are created equal. Some of them are stem cells. Some of them are going to become metastatic. Some of them are just going to sit there and are going to be easily treated. So if we can pick that apart, we can actually sort of cut off, for instance, the metastases in a cancer, right? So if we do that on just the bulk tissue, we'll never find out what that target is or how we can best cure that disease.
So you don't want to look at the rug. You want to look at the threads.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And you want to look at it thread by thread. And it turns out there's a lot of threads, right? So you need a technology that's going to move with some velocity through that, right?
So let's talk about the velocity, because a flow cytometer actually marches the cells past in a single file. I mean, it's like, line up, kids, let's go.
Yeah, exactly right. So, if you can imagine a huge crowd of kids, thousands of them passing through just one door to get into school, that's pretty much what we do. So we actually use fluid, and we apply high-velocity fluid instead of doors to sort of focus the cells down. And then they march through a set of really one up to a couple of different lasers. And then we can detect what's on each of those individual cells.
So where did you come from? I mean, what was your line of work before you started FloJo?
So I was an immunologist. Mm-hmm. So I was looking at the immune system and looking how our very early immune response to viruses, so within the first couple of days, sets up the response that we have a week later and then months later. So I was actually using our product, FloJo, to analyze flow cytometry data, work on new methods for examining the immune system, and then, did some other work and actually ended up getting recruited out of here a little more than 6 years ago.
Recruited out of here for what?
So recruited out to actually sit as a scientist on a software engineering team. And so how do we take all of the kind of the advances in science and then make new software tools that meet them up? So how do you bring that intimacy? Right, because it's not just an app that we're creating for your phone. This is something that is specific, and we have to create certain applications that analyze that data, develop algorithms that customers are going to use to really push at the cutting edge of technology. So you have to be really, you have to be with your customers at or even ahead of where they are in the science to know what's coming and know what you need to do.
So it's not just the machinery that arranges the flow cytometry. You get gobs of data that you then have to be able to analyze.
It's this huge stream of data that comes off of these things. And what's interesting, it's not, people talk about big data as a buzzword, and we like to think about it as big impact data, right? Because each one of our data points is that individual cell. And in some cases, you can look at very rare cells within that huge gamish. Right, so if you can imagine an enormous spreadsheet, you're looking for, the 20 cells within there of many, many thousands, and that's what's really important that you're looking for. So we provide biologists the analytical tools to be able to get there.
When you say you're an immunologist, are you an MD?
No, so PhD.
PhD, okay. We're talking to Mike Stadnitsky. He's the CEO of Flojo LLC, based in Ashland, now part of a larger company. He's this month's guest in our edition of The Ground Floor, which is our perusal of business success stories around the region. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So let me understand. It sounds like you were using the Flojo product before you actually were the head of Flojo. Is that what you said?
Absolutely. So I was a customer. I was a customer for 6 years. Actually learned it as I was learning the technology of flow cytometry. So you have to learn, you know, how to prepare your cells, how to run on the instrument, and then you have to learn how to analyze your data. And so I started breaking our application, trying to push together a couple different data types together. So I had some disease type data, and I had some data on what the viral load looked like, so how much virus is there. And then I had information about the immune cells, and I was trying to kind of force them together. You know, now this has a buzzword called multi-omics, which is the study of cells, the study of biology using multiple different methods. But back then, we really didn't, you know, we didn't have any tools to do this. So I started breaking the software and started engaging with the team. And they said, oh, this is some interesting work that you're doing. You know, why don't you come out and show us what you're up to?
So there was a Flojo before you got here.
There was. Mm-hmm. Right. So there was a Flojo. It was a small team here in Ashland, about 16 people. And the only product they had was still our flagship, which is this Flojo application. And so I joined 6 years ago, and took over the company a couple of years later. Really trying to get us to do a couple of things. One is bring the science much, much closer to the business, right? Both our relationships with customers, but also put us in a place where we were actually doing research and development internally. Right, so that we were really walking with our customers hand in hand. We've got a number of different research projects that are active right now, like that. And then, you know, the other part of it was to actually expand our scope. So, you know, one of the things we've been able to do is work with a leading gene sequencing company to develop, you know, an analytical tool that's effectively the Hubble telescope for biology. Really change that, and then continue to expand. Really, the types of data that we're looking at and the kind of impact that we can make in science.
This can be quite a trick, as I understand it, that companies that begin with science and people understand scientific processes sometimes get into some interesting corners because they don't have a lot of people who understand businessy kinds of things.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
How big a challenge has that been for Flojo before or since you've been there?
Yeah, so I think we always, and I think, you know, when we kind of looked at our organization, you know, we realized that if we focused on the science and then customers and really understood the business as a means to an end, which doesn't mean you don't have to be the expert in it, but it really is the means through which we can accomplish great things for our customers and great things for science, then we have treated it correctly, right? So it doesn't mean you disrespect it or you just focus on the science or you just geek out. Because at the end of the day, you know, we have to make payroll and we have to eat,
right?
And you can't eat a discovery, right? So you have to be able to... You certainly have to create a business model around how you're going to do these kind of, how you're going to license the software, how you're going to interact with your customers, how you're going to grow, you know, that customer base. But for us, you know, the tip of the spear has always been, you know, science and then leading that science. And I think now, you know, we've put the company in a position where customers look to us to say, hey, what's coming next or what can we be doing that's better? And I think that puts you in a different type of conversation. And you know, it's not necessarily, the conversation isn't anymore about, hey, how much is my, you know, license for this? It's, hey, where are things going? You know, how, you know, is there any way you can help us more with this project that we're working on? And I think because we've, you know, changed that conversation over the past 4 years, we've built an incredibly strong business, you know, around the science.
So people come to you with questions they don't quite know how to even fully ask, it sounds like, and you help guide them through the process of obtaining the information they're looking for.
Yeah, and that's actually the changing nature of where we are in science and certainly in immunology, where, you know, we used to be, you know, when we went to school, we learned, you know, hypothesis-driven science and, you know, you have to have, you know, a certain way of thinking before you go into it. But honestly, you know, it's kind of inverted now where we have so much data that we can look at. That it's not necessarily anymore even about your hypotheses, but it's about how many questions you think you can ask and which type of questions should you be asking of that data. And I think that's where we're helping change the conversation with our customers around, well, what else can we get out of this?
So does Flojo make the hardware too, or just the software, or both?
Well, so we just made the software, mm-hmm. And then in October we joined the leading manufacturer of the hardware. And so now we really, you know, we're in this really interesting position where we've got really everything end to end, right? So what type of question a researcher wants to be asking, the tools to be able to answer it, and then also the analysis where they can draw that insight out. And the goal, you know, for us is both within, you know, flow cytometry and then some of what we're looking at for, you know, by looking at genes in individual cells is, you know, how can we make this go faster, right? And how can we enable this and democratize this so that people can use this across a number of different types of fields?
So when you say you joined with the manufacturer, this is when there was a buyout, was there, from BD? Is that the company?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we joined BD in October of last year.
Does BD stand for something?
Yeah, Becton Dickinson.
Uh-huh, okay.
So, you know, people have heard of this company. They don't realize it. So anytime you've been, you know, to get a blood draw, mm-hmm. very likely that was a BD Vacutainer. And so it's really amazing now to think about the journey of cells now, right? Because if you go and you're part of a clinical trial, for instance, your blood will be collected using very likely a BD syringe or a BD blood collection device. It'll be collected in a Vacutainer, which was made by us. The sample will be analyzed on a BD flow cytometer. Now you can analyze the data in software that's made by a subsidiary of BD. So we really get to touch the science, everything from the patient all the way into the diagnosis or the insight.
Wow, basically from the bloodstream to the figuring out what the answers are here. This I have to wonder, though. I mean, is part of the software getting into things like algorithms where you're having the machines look for patterns that the scientists might have missed?
Absolutely. And so we're right on that, you know, right on that cusp, actually, of looking even in more into deep learning and into artificial intelligence approaches. And so, you know, the past in our field has really been, you know, what can we discover? It's been more of a taxonomic effort. Right. Let's find all the different cells and let's kind of put them in a tree. And turns out that, you know, the more you look at, the more the tree you originally drew was wrong. And I think we're in a different type of environment now where we're really trying to think about, OK, what tools, what algorithms we develop to help people think about biology in more of a systems type way where cells are interacting with tissues and one another to either drive disease or to drive health. And eventually, how do we use those algorithms? How do we use new type of approaches to actually define what's health, right? Because, for instance, if you go to the doctor right now and you say, I'm having problems with my liver, right? They can do a test and say, yeah, your liver's healthy or it's not. But we don't have a test like that for the immune system. So if you go to your doctor and say, how's my immune system doing? We don't have a test for that. We don't actually understand what health is in the immune system. And so kind of where we're driving towards is how do we develop algorithms? How do we develop systems-level thinking to actually be able to get there and develop new diagnostics and new treatments?
Mike Stadnitsky is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. In this month's edition of The Ground Floor, we're talking about Flojo LLC, which is now a subsidiary of a larger company called BD, as you heard, since October. Got questions or comments? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, by the way, the catchy name Flojo, does this have any relation to somebody liking the late Florence Griffith Joyner, the track star?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, and I think it became this running joke that as we were analyzing data that we were always still the fastest. So yes, there's that, and then there's some apocryphal stories around it being the jack of all trades because, you know, someone at Apple called us the Swiss Army knife mm-hmm. of flow cytometry software. And it's because we have so many applications that we serve within that. So yes, but yeah, it's certainly a nod to Flores Joyner.
And who are the customers of Flojo? I mean, who is it going to be? University research labs and corporate research labs, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so it's both those. So all the major research universities and hospitals, pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies use us worldwide. We've got many thousands of users that we serve. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a veritable zoo of applications that they use it for, right?
How many people working in Ashland?
So we have 34 people working here in Ashland.
So more than double what you had when you
more than double
came to the place.
And yeah, and that you know, our goal is to continue to grow here in Ashland.
But you need people with some fairly high end skills, I would think. You know, computer software and stuff like that.
Certainly. So, but it's been a balance. So we've hired a number of people from the community because there's actually a huge talent base here in Southern Oregon. And you know, we started to grow this company a year and a half, more like 2 years ago. We were starting to work on new efforts. Had a number of people tell me that there's no way you'd be able to grow this business in Southern Oregon. And, you know, I told them, okay, that I appreciate your opinion, but this is what we're going to do. And so we've continued to grow, you know, I'd say grow sustainably. And we found talent here, and then we recruit talent from the outside.
People who actually moved to Ashland then?
Yeah, people who moved to Ashland. So, you know, there's a self-selection, you know, the people who are sick of traffic in the Bay Area or really want to work in a focused place and also have a better work-life balance, I think we, you know, I think we have a really interesting story around that.
And it's only been what, five, six months since you were sold to BD. So what has changed in structure or operations or anything like that?
So, you know, really, very little in the short run, right? Because I think, you know, we were a functioning business, a very successful business. And there, you know, there really is a goal of the business unit that we're a part of to understand some of what we were doing, some of what I refer to. You know, how do you guys stay so in touch with the science? How do you guys have this really close relationship, you know, with your customers? So I think it's not necessarily a hands off, but it's a, I'd say a hands together type approach. You know, is to understand, okay, you know, what do you have that, you know, what do you have that's really valuable for us, and how do we work together and collaborate? And the other thing too is, you know, our customers use a number of different, you know, pieces of hardware to measure their cells, some made by, you know, our parent company and some not. Mm-hmm. So we live at a kind of a different place, right? Where we get to see the science across what our company's doing and what others are not. So yeah, I think, you know, it's been a really collaborative process so far, and it's been fun.
One person got a new job, I hear.
Yeah.
A new boss, I mean.
I would be the one person with the new boss.
Right. That's it. Everybody else is still working for you. Before we go, I want to ask, because the last time you were here, we were talking about the White House moonshot on cancer during the Obama administration. Can I assume that that was discontinued once there ceased to be an Obama administration?
Yes. Well, while the funding in that particular vehicle, you know, ceased to be, I'd say that our work has not only continued but accelerated. And so, you know, really where that cancer moonshot was coming in was, how do we drive towards particularly new treatments for cancer? And we are in a watershed moment in our ability to not only discover kind of on the front end what are new targets of disease, but on the other end is actually delivering, cures and treatments to patients. So it's been a number of really incredible approvals in these engineered T cells, these immune cells that we construct. You know, you can take T cells out of a patient. You can actually infect them with a new way of looking at cancer, finding cancer, and you put them back in the patient and they can eradicate them. And there's been two approvals in the past year for therapy like that. And wow, we see an increasing pace of that. So we're really excited about it. I think, you know, while the funding has decreased, you know, the work definitely still continues.
Mind-blowing stuff. Looking at the body's cells, one cell at a time through flow cytometry. That's the work of FlowJo LLC. Mike Stadnisky's the CEO. Thanks for joining us in this month's edition of The Ground Floor.
Thanks so much, Jeff.